From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. What makes your smartphone your smartphone? The software, the chippy hidden guts, or the edges of the case? Well, according to the U.S. Supreme Court this week, it's complicated. The court ruled 8-0 on the side of Samsung, which has been fighting Apple over hundreds of millions of dollars in a patent battle related to the iPhone, the Samsung Galaxy, and a number of designs in both. Which means lower courts will decide on some more detailed patent arguments later on. The fight is essentially what the phrase article of manufacture means and whether it covers a whole phone or just some of the parts. Here to help us understand is Christine Farley, law professor at American University in Washington. Hi, Christine. The court didn't really provide a roadmap for lower courts on how to value phone parts.
So the Supreme Court took one of the easiest ways out of the morass. There were
a couple
of others.
Is that why it was 8-0?
There were a couple of others that were even easier. But what they said was that the Federal Circuit was wrong in its interpretation of the Patent Act. So in this case, this involved the Apple iPhone, which of course, you know, has lots of design patents, and but also lots of utility patents involved in a very complicated piece of technology. In the case, there were three design patents infringed by Samsung. They were small, minor design elements of the iPhone. Uh-huh. And nevertheless, the Federal Circuit had said that Samsung would owe Apple the entire profit. So there were $400 million on the line in this case.
And the Supreme Court reversed that decision, saying Samsung didn't owe all of that to Apple. So what does all this mean for how our phones might look in the future?
There will be implications either way from these decisions and from this development of design patent law. Does this law have an impact on how things are designed and what kind of money companies put into the design of their products? Apple is a great case in point. It spends a lot of time on design. It spends good money on design and things. You know, people buy Apple products in part for the way they look. The court, sure, by the way, had a very interesting discussion in the oral argument in this case about, you know, other kinds of things that people buy based on look. And they kept coming back to the example of the VW Beetle as being, you know, one of those things that people, although it's a multi-component car and people wouldn't buy it if it didn't run, part of the reason they buy it is because of the way it looks. I think either way, you know, commentators would say, oh, this is bad for design. I think this, in some way, is certainly limiting the damages you can get for a design patent case. But in another way, maybe it saves design patent law, because I think that was an out-of-whack decision by the Federal Circuit that really couldn't stand. Something was going to have to give, because that was not sustainable to allow people to have those kind of windfalls by gaming the system with little teeny patents, which is exactly what would have happened had the Supreme Court not reached this decision.
Christine Farley is law professor at American University. Christine, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes. Sometimes kids learn the best when you're tricking them into the learning part. If you're a kid right now, you've probably heard of the Microsoft-made video game Minecraft, where characters manipulate a world made of cubicle blocks to mine different resources and build their own structures, and a lot more. Some of those kids may not have heard of Code.org, an organization dedicated to tech and education that partnered recently with Microsoft to use the game in a new way to teach kids, and really any coding newbie, the principles of coding. Hadi Partovi is the CEO and founder of Code.org, and he's here with me to talk. Hi, Hadi. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
What is it about Minecraft? Why do kids love this so much?
Part of what makes kids enjoy Minecraft is that inside the Minecraft game, mm-hmm, they similarly get to express themselves creatively. They're not just fighting things or shooting things or so on. They get to build and be creative.
What role should parents play in all of this?
I think parents are right to have a real concern about screen time, but I don't think all screen time is bad. I think there's a difference between screen time and brain time. It depends on whether kids are using their screen time for creativity or just for consuming entertainment. If they're using their screen to paint, is that bad? Would you take the paintbrushes away from a kid who's painting on a piece of paper? You probably wouldn't.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Are they using their screen to code? For sure you wouldn't tell a student to stop doing that.
Why do you want every kid to do this?
I don't believe every kid must learn to code. I believe every kid must have the opportunity to learn computer science. And I think the basics of understanding how computers and technology work on the inside, how apps and algorithms are made, is just as foundational as learning about photosynthesis or biology or chemistry.
Or music. Right.
Correct. And every school teaches those things. They don't all teach computer science.
Is game building a certain genre of coding or anything like that?
Yeah. You know, for younger kids, creating games is for sure a draw. You know, the younger kids initially want to create games and stories, and then they quickly graduate to wanting to create apps. Uh-huh. You know, these are the things they use in their daily lives. So they want the ability to know that they can be the ones making them is very empowering.
Do you play Minecraft?
I don't play myself. I watch him play and I help him around.
What have you observed in his behavior that has informed this project?
For our new tutorial, what we've done, which is really different, is let you create the rules of your own game. So, you know, you could create a world where the chickens lay diamonds. And so you can really use your creativity to completely change the rules of the game. And that creativity is very much why my son loves Minecraft. You get to make your own thing. And that's also why kids love coding.
Hadi Partovi is CEO and founder of Code.org. Hadi, thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much.
You can find this tool at Code.org. I played with it. It's fun, I swear. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.